touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line!
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime!
Hello there. Welcome to your weekend. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to One Bills Live in Orchard Park, New York. We're live at New Era Field, right next door in the One Buffalo studio. A little dusting of snow on the carpet at New Era Field today as we begin our Friday, our three-hour show, taking you into the weekend. Good afternoon. John Murphy and Steve Tasker in the One Buffalo studio here until 3 o'clock. We're going to talk some football. But this just came over Twitter, where everything happened, Steve. Jack Eichel is going to play. Jack Eichel has recovered from his...
upper body injury. I forgot. Upper body injury.
From his... whatever he had that
That's
nobody
right.
knows, and it will not be discussed.
Super secret injury that he had.
He's ready to go tonight at Carolina. That's big news. I'm going to the hockey game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I timed it out right.
Tickets, right?
Yeah, I got the tickets.
Oh, yeah. It'd be a big, warm, fuzzy welcome for Jack coming back on the ice.
Oh, yeah.
The arena.
Yeah, I'll be among the crowd there.
Awesome.
We're here to talk football, but one more issue that we should bring up. You spent a little bit of time last night checking out my Michigan Wolverines on TV.
Yeah, they were playing the team Fighting in the Illini.
Yep,
6-0. On the road.
Kind of a methodical, workmanlike win for the Wolverines over the Illini.
When I turned it on, they were up 4 first half, and they kind of ratcheted their way up to like 7, then back to 5, mm-hmm. then up to 9, then back to 6, you know. So it kind of went up, and then I was watching something else, and I can't remember what it was. I think it was – I was jumping around. And I came back, and sure enough, you know, they'd ratchet. In the second half, they got it up to, like, double digits. And I thought, okay.
16-0.
I don't need to watch it anymore.
It's half a season. You know, they
did they play pretty good last night? Is that, like –
they played okay.
That was kind of a – because when I was watching, I was like, this is kind of a herky-jerky game.
Yeah, okay.
There was some bad ball handling and
– well, they are – and historically, in the last 12 years or so, they've been – one of the best teams in the country at minimizing turnovers. They don't turn the ball over. They had 11 turnovers in the first half last night.
They were turning it over like it was their job when I was watching.
Yeah, that was unusual.
Like that was the object of the game.
That was unusual for them. But they'll get back to where
you're telling me it was unusual then.
Yeah, but again, a 10-point win. No, it wasn't you. You had nothing to do with it. No. Good win. They'll play again Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Michigan Wolverines ranked 2 in the country, just rolling. You know, they've lost one game in the last, like, 11 and a half months now. One game. You know what game that was? The national championship game to Villanova last April. They've lost one game in almost a year. That's it. How would, you know, their number, even my wife, who,
I gotta tell
my wife says, how are they not the number one team in the country? I said, that's a good question.
I got to tell you, Murph, I love you and all that, but they don't look that athletic to me.
They're pretty athletic.
They don't look that athletic to me. They got a couple of tall, stiff guys. They got one guy who doesn't seem to be really athletic or very smart.
Okay.
I'm serious. I got my doubts about them this year.
All right.
Even in their 16-0 heyday.
16-0, they lost one game in the last year, but Steve has doubts.
I got doubts.
What do you want?
I got doubts. They may be a one and done this season.
Oh, please.
They may be the first number one seed to go out.
I know, and I have entertained thoughts.
Opening weekend.
Listen, I'm going to give you the dates right now. There's a chance. You are going to be doing the show by yourself the first weekend in April. April, where is it here? April 8th. There's a chance.
Because you're going to go to Indianapolis.
I might be Minneapolis.
It was in the Final Fours in Minneapolis.
Yes. There's a chance.
Flight, Murph. You got to do it.
Yeah. Well, if they're there.
I'll hang in there for you. You know.
But
it'll be on a Monday, right?
Yeah, the championship game is Monday night. Yeah. Have you followed college basketball much over the years, Steve?
Hardly in nothing
I
at
know.
All. I was honorary chair of the the organizing committee for Hoops 2000.
What's that here?
When the tournament? NCAA tournament came here for the first time in the
year. A lot of heavy lifting on that, I bet, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of meetings.
Go to a lot of parties.
I didn't. No. I had a lot of thank yous to give at little you know high level gatherings and stuff like that. It was big time. I had a couple of tickets and out of it and.
There you go.
And then we set us up for a lot of return visits, too.
Yeah. They've come back several times since.
Yeah. Because we did a nice job on that first one.
Yeah.
Left a little seed money in the bank.
Yeah.
Everything. It was good.
Yeah.
But that's it right there.
That's
it's like 18 years ago.
I got you.
So.
All right. So, Steve, watch Michigan. We're talking a little Sabres, but we do have a good football show to provide for you here today. We know our job. We know what our task is.
It's playoff time.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about the playoffs, right? The divisional playoffs. There are those who would tell you this is the best weekend of NFL football. The 4 divisional playoff games. A wild card has 4 games as well. Sometimes you get wild card entrants who are not among the best. But now you really do have – I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to say of these eight teams playing this weekend that any real championship contender is not playing.
That's right.
These are the eight.
These are good teams, and they're playing well.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Now, I thought last weekend was a fantastic weekend of football. They were all very close games except for the Colt-Houston game, first one of the weekend. The other three games were dynamite football games. They weren't high-scoring, but they were really good football games with good teams playing well on both sides of the ball. And it was fun to watch. But we've got some nuggets here that we want to spread around for these games. And we've been talking all week about, you know, I thought the AFC games, the Chargers at New England and the Colts at the Chiefs, I thought those were really good football games. And then we started digging in a little bit, and I'm not so sure anymore.
I think they're going to be good games.
I don't know.
We're going to talk. Let me just let people know what's coming up on the show. Bottom of this hour, about 24 minutes from now. J.P. Lossman, former Bills first-round draft pick, played quarterback here. Of course, you know all that. Did you know that J.P. was a volunteer coach, an intern coach, coaching interns, what I'm trying to say, with the national championship Clemson Tigers for the last 2 years? Worked with quarterbacks? He's got a lot to say, I would think. J.P., we'll ask him about Trevor Lawrence. We'll ask him about the Clemson Tigers. We'll ask him about his future. J.P. Lossman going to join us at 12:30. Looking forward to talking with
that?
J.P.
And it's interesting, too. I guess the Buffalo News had an article, and I didn't read it, but J.P. Lossman was part of Nick Saban's last two crushing defeats by 14 points or more. He was the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills when they beat the Dolphins under Saban's tutelage. That was the last time they got beat by 14-plus points. And then this last one, he was a coaching intern for the Clemson Tigers, who did it, what was it, like 10 years later?
Yep. 12 years.
12 years, years later to the Alabama Crimson Tide when he was a coaching intern with Clemson this last Monday night. So J.P. Lossman's still hanging around football and still – and he's gotten into the coaching thing. Well, good for him.
We had J.P. on the show about a year and a half ago on this show, J.P. talking about just before he went to Clemson what his coaching plans were, why he took that job. Now he's spent 2 years there as a coaching intern. And we'll see what his next step is. Maybe he stays at Clemson. J.P. Lossman going to join us at 12:30. I recall distinctly when we had him on back in June of 2017, thinking how much he had matured. Those who remember him as a player here probably say, that guy, yeah, he's a guy now. He's a full-grown man with a career in coaching and an interesting guy to talk to. He's always was interesting. He was always pretty intelligent. But he grew up a lot, it seems, just my impressions from a year and a half ago. And I'm looking forward to reconnecting with him today on the show about 25 minutes from now. J.P. Lossman at 12:30, 1 o'clock. Greg Cosell's got all the answers. You know, I'm sure he's done a deep dive into the playoff matchups here this weekend, the four games this weekend. We'll get Greg Cosell's thoughts on those and his thoughts on the coaching hires going on around the league. Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN joins us at 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock, a makeup call, guy we were supposed to have yesterday, Daryl Johnston, the Moose from Youngstown, New York, who got caught up with his own team yesterday in practice and was not able to join us for the show. He's going to be with us today at 2 o'clock. The Moose to talk about his own team, the San Antonio Commanders of the Alliance of American Football. He is the general manager of the San Antonio Commanders. He, of course, also is a broadcaster on the NFL on Fox. Very closely associated still with his team, the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll get his thoughts on the Cowboys game coming up tomorrow night in Los Angeles. So, Steve, we got a lot in front of us here today.
Yeah, we're going to be busy. And it's the last Friday before the divisional round of the playoffs. We've been riding this and talking about these things to a certain extent. We've kind of been focused on the Bills and what's going on with them this last season and what's with the Bills going forward. But this weekend, or today, we're going to talk about this weekend's games a little bit and get maybe what a lot of people think is going to happen in these. I mean, it's always fun to predict, but it's hard to predict when good teams meet, you know, and that's what all eight of these teams are. They're really, really good, and they're playing well.
We're asking your predictions for our Twitter poll today. It's up right now on Twitter, One Bills Live Twitter. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs this weekend. Which road team has the best chance of pulling off the upset? Who do you think, the Chargers, the Colts, the Cowboys, or the Eagles? Tweet in your response. Send in a response, and we might read it on the tweet sheet. Or give us a call, 803-0550, or from outside Buffalo, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Which road team has the best chance of pulling off the upset in the divisional playoffs this weekend? On the early returns on Twitter, with almost 200 votes in, 56% of you say the Chargers. 30% say the Colts. 30% think the Colts will pull the upset at Kansas City. 10% say the Philadelphia Eagles. And only 4% say the Cowboys. I'm going with the with the majority here, Steve. I do think the Chargers have a chance, guess coming east again, have a chance to spring the upset, maybe the best chance of any of these four to spring the upset and beat the New England Patriots.
Are you going to read these nuggets or do I? Because I'm going to crush your hopes and dreams right here. And all those, and I know that we're talking to Bills fans, and everybody
nuggets.
Wants to see the end of the Brady-Belichick era, and I get it, and they're voting with their hearts, and they see Phillip Rivers and that Chargers team as a really good squad, and they are. They are very talented. They're playing very well. They've got a very skilled and experienced quarterback who's still throwing it a really well, and there's every reason to be hopeful. But let me just crush those hopes right now.
They've got 13 wins, too, by the way, the Chargers.
Right. So against Tom Brady in the playoffs – the remaining quarterbacks in the AFC are Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, and Phillip Rivers. None of them have ever, in the history of their careers, beaten Tom Brady. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 against Tom Brady. Andrew Luck is 0-6 against Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes is obviously 0-1 against Tom Brady. The only quarterback left in the playoffs who has beaten Brady in the postseason or in any way, is Nick Foles, who did it in the Super Bowl last year. Only Nick Foles has beaten Brady in the postseason of the remaining playoff field. And the playoff-winning remaining quarterbacks who have playoff wins, Brady has 27 playoff wins. Drew Brees has 7. Phillip Rivers has 5. Andrew Luck has 4. Nick Foles has 4. Dak Prescott has 1. And, of course, Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes don't have any yet. Those are the quarterbacks that are remaining. Tom Brady sits atop that list with 27 wins. He has never been beaten by any of the AFC quarterbacks in the playoffs in the history of their careers. Phillip Rivers is 0-7, Andrew Luck 0-6, and Mahomes 0-1.
What does that have to do with this?
Do you really think? Do you really think that's going to change?
Yes.
You think Phillip Rivers is going to waltz in there into Foxborough and knock off Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
I do.
Just because what? It's time?
Because the Patriots are not the Patriots they were when all those numbers were put together, number one. Number two, the Chargers are good. They won 13 games now after their playoff win last week. They were tested last week in Baltimore, and I think passed that test. They're solid. They're balanced, both sides of the ball. They can run it. They can throw it. And they have some great players on defense. Yes, I think the Chargers are going to win that game. I do.
No.
Why? Because history says they've never done it?
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody's ever done it. Nobody's going to do it. Not this year. The Patriots just don't lose that up there. You can say what you want. There have been a lot of good teams that have gone in there thinking they're going to win, and none of them can get it done. Certainly this is not the Patriot team of old, but it is the Patriot culture. It's the Patriot home field advantage. It's whatever else goes on there outside the lines, inside the lines, with the stadium, with the fan base. With whatever happens in that stadium, I just don't think you can get it done. It's too difficult a place to win. They do a better job in Foxborough of adjusting on the fly than any team yet. Now, certainly the Chargers are talented. They've got two very experienced coordinators, and those coordinators for the Chargers, meaning Ken Whisenhunt and Gus Bradley, offensive and defensive respectively, they have shown a real knack for in-game adjustments during this past season. They are really good at it. They're both really experienced, keeping up to snuff on what the offense is doing against their defense and what the defense and offense and vice versa. These two coordinators have done a really good job of staying afloat and staying abreast of what the other team is adjusting for them. So that's crucial in this game. But I just think it's so difficult to go in there and win. And I'm not going to pick against the Patriots. I'm just not going to do it. They've been too good for too long. I've learned my lesson too many times. And I'm like a lot of people, like the majority of people on our Twitter poll, Murph, you know, you'd like to see it happen. I'm just not one of those that thinks it's going to happen this year.
I think the time has come. I really do.
I think that's where people are voting from.
And they've seen the way the Patriots played this year. They've seen how vulnerable New England has been this year. To your point about the matchup of quarterbacks, more nuggets. Another nugget. This is interesting. Rivers versus Brady, the oldest combined age by two starting quarterbacks ever in an NFL postseason game. Phillip Rivers, 37. Tom Brady is 41. That's 78 years. There's never been there's never been a playoff game with two older combined age among the two starting quarterbacks. It is the third time, only the third time, this Sunday's game. Third time with 15 or more years of experience where quarterbacks meet as starters in the postseason. The previous two, Dan Marino and John Elway in the 1998 divisional round, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in the AFC Championship 2015. There's some miles on these two quarterbacks. I don't think we see Brady and the Patriots twice a year. We know who they are. We know how good they are. We know how strong they are at home. Amazing stats. 22-4 in home playoff games, 19-3 in the Bill Belichick era. Patriots are the only team in the NFL that finished undefeated at home this year. Chargers, though, Steve, went 7-1 on the road this year.
They're hard to beat, both those teams.
Yeah.
Patriots are hard
to
beat.
I can't wait for this game.
Patriots are hard. So the Patriots came into this postseason with the 10-6 record. And you think about New England at 11-5. Well, now they're 11-5, right?
Who?
No, in the regular season, the New England Patriots are 11-5. So they were 2-5 on the road, 3-5 on the road this year, away from home. So they're easier to beat on the road this now than they've ever been. Usually they'll drop one game at home, you know, or something. It's hard to be undefeated on the road or at home. Anyway, it's not the same Patriots team. You gotta admit that. People here in Buffalo see it. We saw him play the Bills. We saw him play all these other games, and I've seen him play a couple of games. I saw one in Foxborough this year. They are not the same football club that they have been in recent years, but they're still undefeated in Foxborough. That's where this game is going to take place. And the Chargers are going from west to east again. They did a nice job of it last weekend. I'm just not betting against the Patriots. There's no way I can do it.
So which road team do you think has the best chance of an upset this weekend?
Oh, I think Indianapolis can go into Kansas City. And let's talk about, you know, the Kansas City and what they've struggled with. You said it. I mean, I don't know if did you say it on the show or were we talking about it beforehand? The Chiefs game the Kansas City Chiefs under Andy Reid. The second time that the Chiefs have gone to a first-round bye under Andy Reid since 2013, they have not advanced to the conference championship since 1993. They are 0-2 at home in five seasons with Andy Reid. They're 1-4 overall in the playoffs. The Chiefs haven't won a home playoff game since the 1993 season. They are 0-6 since then. The Colts are 4-0 all-time against the Chiefs in the postseason. Of course, some of that was with Peyton Manning back in the day. Three of their four meetings have come down to one score or less. And if you'll remember, a couple of years ago, the Chiefs jumped out to a 38-10. There was a 28-point lead. 38-10 lead on the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts came back and beat them, 45-44. Yeah, the Chiefs are going to struggle in this game. They are not invincible at home, and the Colts are playing really well. That's the game that I think the way team is going to win. The Indianapolis Colts are going to go into Kansas City and knock off the Chiefs. It's going to happen.
That could happen. That would be my second choice. And, you know, we've known, and if you've watched the Chiefs this season, as most of us have, watched them all season, and admired really the year they've had, in the back of your mind, you know that Kansas City is vulnerable defensively. They are not a good defensive team. We know that, right? This little nugget, this blew me away today. The Chiefs are just the third team in NFL history to make the playoffs despite allowing 400 or more yards per game. Only three teams have done that, had the kind of defensive year that the Kansas City Chiefs have had this year and still made the playoffs. The 2011 Packers and the 2011 Patriots, who both lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion Giants, both went into the postseason as their conference's number one seed like Kansas City. But Kansas City doesn't play defense. They don't play defense, Steve. And can they get away with that?
No,
you can get
they
away
can't.
With that during the course of a regular season, okay. Can you get away with that in the playoffs when everybody's pretty good? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean you can go 12-4 if you're scoring. I mean, the Chiefs scored 25 plus points every single game this season. They scored more than 25 or more points in every single game in the regular season. That's the most ever. They did it every single game. Nobody's ever done it before. The Chiefs did it this year. And we've talked a lot about quarterbacks, and we all know that Patrick Mahomes in his second year had one of the all-time great seasons. In his first full season, he became the sixth different quarterback in NFL history to throw for, throw for three-plus TDs in 10 games or more. He joins Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. He did it in his second year. He's the 11th season overall as a quarterback to throw for 5,000-plus yards. It's happened 11 times over the course of NFL history. He's only the third quarterback in history to throw for 50-plus TD passes. He joins Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. I mean, the guy had an incredibly productive season. He wowed so many people, and for good reason. The guy was unbelievable. That's the kind of quarterback they've got. He's playing at home. He's going to be tough to beat. But here's the thing. He can't beat the Colts if he's standing on the sidelines. And if the Colts are on the field with Andrew Luck, grinding out first downs, using up all the clock, it's going to take away his ability to throw for 300 yards, three-plus touchdowns, score 25 points. And that's that's what the Colts are going to try and do.
Does it matter at all that this is Patrick Mahomes' first playoff start? I mean, is he above jitters? Is he above nerves, maybe feeling it a little bit in his first playoff start? I think it has to mean something, Steve.
I think it does for a lot of guys. We'll see, though. I mean, this is, you know, let's face it. There's a lot of pressure in the regular season when you're the guy for the first time.
Yeah.
When you throw and you have the kind of season he did, and then at the end of the year, by the second half of this season, let's face it, all eyes were on Patrick Mahomes. It's not that like he hasn't felt the pressure before this, when they were going to clinch the division, when they were going to clinch home field advantage. There have been big moments leading up to this. Certainly this is going to be a full game that he can get ready for. I don't think this is going to be one of those times where it's going to be an entire game of him pressing. He's not going to look like Lamar Jackson in Baltimore last week, where he's got negative 4 yards right. passing in the first three quarters. I don't think that's going to happen to Patrick Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mahomes has got a lot of talent.
He's going to handle it. Yeah. He's had more success throwing the football. So I would say maybe a little, but it's not going to hamper him to the point where it's going to be debilitating. You know, he may feel it, but we may not be able to perceive it.
Right.
So that's where I'd leave that. I think it's not going to be perceptible if it is going to be a problem for him this big moment.
So there you go. Four playoff games. The divisional round starts tomorrow. The lineup tomorrow, 4:35 p.m. The Colts in Kansas City in a game that Steve thinks the Colts will spring the upset, followed by the nighttime game tomorrow night, 8:15 p.m. kickoff. The Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Rams. And on Sunday, things get going at 1:05 p.m. with the Chargers at New England. I think the Chargers have a real shot to surprise New England on Sunday in Foxborough, followed by Philadelphia and New Orleans at 4:40 p.m. What do you think? Which road team has the best chance of pulling off the upset this weekend in the division round? We got a couple tweets in. Reading from the tweet sheet, Brian Cook sends in this. It may be wishful thinking, he says, but the Chargers have a better record than the Pats. Check. They have not had a real home game all year. Check. Brady is looking his age. Check. The Pats are very flawed. Check. And the Patriots have stumbled late in the season. Yeah. And Brian Cook goes on to say, I like the Chargers and their pass rush against an aging Brady. I do too. I don't think the New England offensive line is anything special. I think New England kind of struggles sometimes to find which of their receivers is going to be the key guy, the targeted guy. Gronkowski is not where he was a couple of years ago. I think the Chargers have a real shot at the upset here this Sunday. I agree with Brian Cook on that.
Well, let me give you a little bit of hope. The Chargers allowed the most receiving yards to running backs this season, 973 yards they gave up to running backs out of the backfield in the passing game, and the fourth most receptions by a running back, which is 107. The Patriots had the most receptions by running backs this season, 121, and the second most receiving yards by running backs this season. So the strength of the Patriots has been the running backs and the checkdowns this year. And
James White.
And the Chargers' weakness has been giving up the running back receptions.
Is that how big a factor is that?
It might be that You can spin that any way you want. You can go positive or negative for either team. Positive for the Chargers, hey, that's what they gave away. You can throw it to the right. backs. You can check it down to the backs all you want. You're not getting us over the top.
We won
right?
13 games so far.
And the Patriots may say, you know what, we're gonna not only going to take it, we're going to keep Phillip Rivers on the sidelines, and when we get in the red zone, we're going to use our red zone offense and be as effective as we have been all season. So it may be this, that, or the other. I don't know. As a Marty Baronism, this or that, who knows? But they do seem to fit, and that does seem to be a problem for the Chargers, and they're going to have to shore that up, because the Patriots will kill you with the running back out of the backfield. Now, it might be too that the Chargers can overcome that by sending more people. If the running back's in the backfield, he's going to have to pass protect because somebody's going to come free if he doesn't. There's always if you do this, the defense can do that. The question is, do you know what they're going to do before the snap? And that's going to be the crucial element.
Let's get your take on this. You can ring us up. Now's the time to do it, too. We're told that J.P. Lossman tied up in a coach's meeting, and now it looks like it'll be maybe 1:30 instead of 12:30. So we have time for you to hear from you. Which road team has the best chance at an upset this weekend in the divisional round of the playoffs? Give us a call. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or do it on Twitter. We might read your response on the tweet sheet. We're going to do all that, talk more about the playoffs, and also some of the coaching moves when we come back. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, just getting rolling here in Orchard Park. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the big show, the Friday show, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here until 3, talking a lot about the playoff matchups. We talk about it even during the break.
Yeah.
And the game that's kind of got our attention, we were talking about it with Jeff Koltnick, one of our producers. The the Colts game, first game tomorrow, 4:35 p.m., the Colts in Kansas City. Fascinating game,
I think, Steve. It is fascinating.
It is a fascinating matchup.
Because I really think, given what I know and what I perceive from them, they've got to feel supremely confident that they're going to be able to use
Who's they?
The Colts are going to be able to put in place an offensive game plan that is so conservative and so ground and pound, clock-eating, almost four-minute offense. Don't even look for the big play. Just stay on the field and know that on a 3rd and 4, you're going to be able to pick it up, because their defense in Kansas City stinks. I mean, it reeks. It's awful. Statistically,
yep.
And the eye test and everything, they just don't measure up. So you got to think that, you know what, I don't. 3rd and 6, let's hand it off tackle, get the first, and then go again. And then just get down. And when we get to the red zone, grind it out, get a touchdown. And then if you can do that, you got to have confidence that you can do that every single possession of the game.
Here's the thing that I think makes this matchup fascinating and problematic for the Colts. The Chiefs have an explosive component to their game that not many in the NFL have this year. Tyreek Hill, for instance, can make big plays from anywhere on the field, on special teams even, and especially on offense. You can't fall behind. You can't let a couple. It doesn't take a big breakdown for the Chiefs to jump out in front 14-0, 10-0, and all of a sudden that prescription you have for the Colts' victory, which it makes sense, that you got to throw that out the window if you're down by 17-0 in the second quarter.
That's
a problem, and that can happen with the way the Chiefs can rack up points.
I think that
could happen. That's how they manage their season, right? They're outscoring people, right?
The team that punts the most loses in this game. I don't think the Colts will punt more than twice the entire game.
How many points are they going to score?
I think you got to score 35 plus in this game.
Okay.
35 plus.
You might be right.
And I think it'll come down to just what it came down to in that Rams game midway through the season. I think the Chiefs are going to turn it over, and the Colts are going to win the game because of it late. They'll have to turn it over late. I think they'll be able to trying to come back and get back in it. I think this all comes down to the fact that because I really don't know if the Colts are going to be able to get it done, score every possession and keep them off the field or whatever. But I do know this: the Colts are going to be able to score offensively. They're going to put some points on the board. They will not make mistakes, and they will stay on the field, and they will come away from the red zone with the touchdowns. And if that happens, the Chiefs, the pressure's going to mount. Because I'll tell you what, Chiefs fans aren't above booing.
And then plus, you cited the numbers, and they're kind of shocking, the record, recent record of the Chiefs' failure in the playoffs, right? I mean, it's stunning.
They can't win.
They don't win in the playoffs. Where were those numbers?
Here it is. It's right.
Chiefs have not won a home playoff game since 1993.
A home playoff game. Right. And they've got one of the hardest venues for a visiting team to come into and play. The most difficult, and they trumpet it. It's the loudest stadium on the planet. They've got it plastered, painted on the walls of the tunnel down there.
Five postseason games under Andy Reid. The Chiefs are 0-2 at Arrowhead Stadium and 1-4. Andy Reid with the Chiefs postseason, 1 win, 4 losses. That's where some of the pressure mounts that you talked about. When you're trailing, say the Colts are, or the Chiefs are fourth quarter, trailing the Colts, and all that's in the fans' mind, like, are you kidding me? They're not going to win this game against this team, this wild card team that came in here, this team that just barely snuck into the playoffs. They're going to lose this one too, right? That's
oh, yeah.
the kind of pressure that mounts.
It's real. Yeah. It's real. There's no question about it. And I think that's a big monkey on Andy Reid's back, I think. And the Chiefs fans are letting him hear about it, too.
They
and
will.
They are unafraid.
What do you think? Which playoff underdog this week has the best chance of springing the upset? Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the line from all the way in Texas, we've got Patrick on the line. Patrick, where in Texas are you? I'm sorry? Where are you, Pat?
So you can tell Daryl Johnson that I'll be going to the games.
Okay. Yeah. You're in San Antonio then?
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay. Excellent. Which team has the best chance of springing an upset, you think, Patrick?
You know, unfortunately, I'm not a Cowboys fan.
Nothing unfortunate about that.
From upstate New York, and I'm actually driving to Dallas now. But I actually think the Cowboys got a good chance in L.A. this weekend.
Why do you think that?
I think simply because I think Dallas has a training camp there. You know, Dallas, they used to.
Oh, we're losing
Patrick,
you, Pat,
yeah,
on
Patrick
your drive.
Is, you're losing. Yes.
The fact that they have their training camp there doesn't mean much. The fact that, as somebody said yesterday, I forget who it was, Gary Myers, I think, in New York, said there could be as many as 50,000 Cowboys fans in the stands at the Coliseum when that game is played tomorrow night. That's a factor, if that's true. Seems like a lot to me, and I get it. The Cowboys are America's team. They do have fans in, you know, they have a presence anyway in Southern California, but more than half of the fans, 93,000 capacity there at the Coliseum, and 50,000 of them are going to be Cowboys fans? That'd be shocking. I'll see that when I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a good group of Dallas fans, no question about it. I get it, but that ain't going to help that team. What makes the crowd neutral? That doesn't. LA's not counting on a home field advantage. You know, I mean, that's not what it's about. This is about in this game. I don't see that home field thing being a factor in this game, even if it was in Dallas. I just don't see that as the thing about this Dallas team that makes it good or bad or needs that help. Here's what I see. I just don't think Dallas's defense, which is ranked 7th overall in the league in yards given up a game, I don't think that's good enough to stop this Rams team in L.A. I think the Rams team, listen, they're going to light it up. And I don't think Dak Prescott is going to be able to keep up. And that's what it's going to fall to. Zeke Elliott's not going to keep them in this game. Dak Prescott's going to have to keep them in this game. Amari Cooper's going to have to keep them in this game. And if you think Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott can keep the Cowboys in a game with the L.A. Rams, that's where we're going to disagree. I don't think they're good enough. I don't think they're going to be good enough offensively to keep up with the Rams.
Which road team has the best chance at springing an upset this weekend? From the tweet sheet, from Tiffany Daniels, frequent contributor. She says the Colts are playing at a high level in all phases. They can score, and their defense is solid. They match up favorably with the Chiefs. If they force a couple of turnovers, they have a shot to move on to the championship round. What do you think of that?
I agree.
Okay.
Turnovers are always the big unpredictable facet of the game that has so much to do with who wins and loses, because so many times the ball bounces funky. You know, even last week, I mean, Colts would have absolutely obliterated the Baltimore Ravens had all the bounces of the ball gone their way early in that game. The Ravens got the ball back after they coughed it up about 3 or 4 times, and the Chargers didn't get all of them. If they had gotten all of them, the game would have been a laugher. As it was, it was pretty close and tense throughout the entire game. You can't predict turnovers. So if you win the turnover battle by more than two, yeah, you're going to win that game, no question about it. But and these teams are good. They're playing good, all of them. So if that turnover thing goes in the way of either in any of these eight teams, that team is going to win, even if they are on the road.
One more from the tweet sheet. Dougie Briggs, when we ask the question, which road team has the best chance of springing an upset, Dougie Briggs says, the Colts are hot, playing very well. I think Andrew Luck is playing very well, and Marlon Mack is running wild. You know, Luck is interesting in many respects, Steve, and he's never been one of my favorites, but this is not like – so the Indianapolis Colts are back in the playoffs after playing badly and missing last year. But this is not like a brand-new playoff team. And they have a guy in Andrew Luck who has had success deep into playoff runs. So it's not as if – to be honest with you, who would you have more confidence in playing well tomorrow, Andrew Luck or Patrick Mahomes? I'd have to say Luck just because he's been here before. I know Mahomes is – uber talented, got a great arm. Luck's got a pretty good arm of his own.
Right.
But
a little bit of it is the bar that Mahomes has set for himself. He got through for 5,000 yards, so a bad game for him is 287 yards, two touchdowns, right? I mean, he threw for three-plus touchdowns in 10 games this year. So he could still play good by the standard of other quarterbacks, but it would still be considered a down day for Mahomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that.
And he's got a team that leans on him more than I think the Colts lean on Andrew Luck. Would you agree with that?
Well,
they need Patrick Mahomes to throw for 500 yards.
The Colts have got Marlon Mack. The Chiefs lost Kareem Hunt during the season. You know, they cut him after what happened to him in his personal life. That's a difference in this game, and that's something that has changed for the Chiefs over the course of the last month and a half. When Kareem Hunt has not been part of the mix. So now they lean even more so on their quarterback. And he's come through for them. Let's face it, he's played really well for them. So I'm totally with you. I think there's so many things that can go on in these games because we've seen all of these teams play well in every phase at different times during the season. And like I said, all these teams are playing good. And you're right, Murph, this is an enormously fun weekend for football fans to watch these teams because after all of us, the rest of us don't have a team in this, we start picking them. We start picking the team we're cheering for. And here in Western New York, you know, you're pulling for the Chargers. You want them to knock the Patriots off. I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at our Twitter poll. Half the people are calling in saying – something that they think something's going to happen that's never happened. Philip Rivers is going to beat Tom Brady. It's never happened in 14 years.
A call here from Anthony in Hamilton. I know we kind of root. We're kind of
irrational. Apologize
sometimes.
For it. I see. I'm with you, man.
Which road team has the best chance of an upset? What do you think, Anthony in Hamilton? Who do you have?
Hey guys, I really believe that the Cowboys have the best chance. And Steve, I get what you're saying. I do think that Dak needs to step it up. But when you look at this matchup, I just think that this is a bad matchup for the Rams. I also think I look at Jared Goff, and every time he plays a defense that is top 10 in the league, he seems to fold. You put any pressure on the guy, and he's going to have a tough time getting it out there. So I do believe that the run game is going to be a factor, but I believe at the end of the day, Dallas has a great shot.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. The Dallas has got a number 7 overall defense. LA's got the 19th overall defense. I don't know what to tell you. LA's got a really good offense. I mean, they're averaging over 400 yards of offense a game. Dallas is averaging only 340. But it all comes down to those two guys. And there's not a lot of reason to trust either of them in the postseason, except Dak as a rookie. You know, they made it in there and they got deep in the playoffs with Dak as a rookie. They haven't had that success since, but we'll see. Goff, he has yet to win a playoff game as well. We'll see. They were one and done last year after that great start. Maybe that sticks in their craw. I don't know. But neither one of these quarterbacks in crunch time, although Dallas fans will tell you Dak is the most clutch quarterback of all time. Well, we'll see. We'll see. On the road in the playoffs, if Dak pulls this off and has a great game because of it, then you got something. But I haven't seen it yet. Not enough for me to count on it. That's all I can say. I'm going with the home team.
Thanks, Anthony. Let's take a call here from Robert in Lockport. Hello, Robert. Welcome. You're on the show with us.
Thank you very much for getting my I'll call. I appreciate the chance to get on. I have a football question, and I have a comment for Steve.
Go ahead.
Football question is, when McCoy runs the ball and Allen runs the ball, they both have a tendency to keep the ball away from their body and their right hand. They kind of palm it like a football player. And why don't the coaches correct that? They get a chance to fumble the ball that way.
What do you think of that? McCoy does it a lot, gets away with it for the most part.
And a lot of other guys do it around the league now. And I'll tell you why, Robert, why that's different than it has been in years past, particularly back in the 70s and 80s. In the 90s, it began to change. And now in the 2000s and now in the 2010s, it's really changed. And there's only one reason I'll tell you right now. It's the technology. The gloves that those guys wear give you such a grip on the ball, it's not as big a risk as it was when I played. The gloves you see Odell Beckham reaching back over his head and catching a one-handed ball with two fingers. The gloves they use now, without any extra stickum on them at all, are made with materials that absolutely grip that ball like you can't believe. When you have those gloves on, that they're tight-fitting gloves, and you reach down and grab one of those footballs, you can't imagine how much it takes to get it out of your hand. It is so much easier to grip the ball, and it gives you such confidence. That's why these guys carry it the way they do, because the ball feels so good in your hand. It feels so sticky and so solid. They can run with confidence doing that. I don't think you've seen any more fumbles because of it, because when they hold it around the ball, it's easier also to hold it away from the defender when it's away from your body in the palm of your hand. It's easier to stiff arm a guy and hold the ball 4 feet away in your other hand while you're running it. You see it a lot around the league, and that's the reason you see guys carrying it much different these days than they did back in the day. It's the technology of the gloves.
Does that answer your question, Robert? You got anything else?
I would have never thought about the glove. That's a very important point. I also like to make a reaction for Steve. I think your comment on Michigan basketball is way off base.
Why? Now you can, because believe me, I trust you, Robert. We've never met, but I'll tell you this, you may be right, because my take on Michigan basketball is uninformed and comes from a place of ignorance. So go ahead.
Just Michigan basketball?
To begin with. We'll start with Michigan basketball. Robert, why is it? Why am I so wrong about Michigan basketball?
Well, they would never be 15-0.
16 now.
The last 11 years, if they were that athletic. And in order to go to the University of Michigan, you have to be pretty intelligent. So I don't think there's anybody on the team that's very slow.
Well, I'll take your word for the athleticism. The intelligence thing, I went to Northwestern, and we'll argue with that all day. I mean, basically, you need an expired fishing license to get into Michigan.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty bad, right?
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks, Robert. I'm teasing. I'm teasing, Robert. I know. You do have to be a smart kid to get into Michigan. I know. But listen,
that's pretty good. That was good. We got a break here. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. We keep hammering the one. Steve.
What's up?
We talked about the playoff games and which one we thought would be the upset. Which one are you most looking forward to watching? Did I ask you that question?
I think so. I think it's the Colts-Chiefs. No question about it. I want to see that game. I want to see if the Colts can get that done. Now, certainly the Chiefs are... I mean, there's high-flying offense, and I think a lot of people around the country outside, you know, they didn't want to see the Chiefs play because they score a lot of points, and they'd like to see that in the playoffs. They'd like to see a Super Bowl with a 54-51 or 63-61 game score, you know. They want to see a basketball score. But I think this is the game for the Colts that's their season. I don't know that anybody can go into New England and win other than the Patriots, you know, being the team there. So I think in the AFC, this is the game that's going to be the most fun to watch.
We said it yesterday. The AFC games just seem to have so much more meat on them than the NFC this weekend, don't they?
And I've heard people thinking that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to go in and beat the Saints and the Dallas Cowboys are going to go in. We had a caller say, you know, I think Dallas has got a shot in this game. I think it's going to be a double-digit weekend. Both home teams in the NFC are going to win by double digits. I don't think either of those two teams can keep up with the teams they're going in there to face. You can say, listen, the Eagles put on a show, but they should have, would have, could have. They're a missed kick, a missed easy kick away from losing to Chicago. They're not going to score. They are not going to score with the Saints, not in the Dome. And L.A., with 2 weeks of rest and Sean McVay as their head coach, they are going to light it up against Dallas. And I don't think Dallas can score enough to keep up with them. On the other hand, I do think because of the severity of the drop-off between the Chiefs' offense and defense, their defense is not going to be able to do anything against the Colts. If that happens, if the Chiefs come out and get a couple of turnovers and stop Marlon Mack completely and do that, that's then you got something. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
I don't think that's going to happen. So I think and, of course, you know, we've been talking all morning about, you know, or all the whole show about what I think is going to happen in New England. I just don't think it's – you. I think late in the game, New England will go up by two scores and it'll be over.
We got a caller online. Wants to talk about that game, I think. Tom in Buffalo. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve, that comment about Michigan was funny.
Thanks. It was meant to be funny because I, you know, obviously got a lot of respect for that university. And but I did go to Northwestern, and it is difficult to get into Northwestern.
Well, in my youth, I thought about going to Michigan for hotel, restaurant, hospitality, and I never had a fishing license.
Well, see, there you go. You couldn't
get in.
I wouldn't be accepted.
All right. What else you got?
We're probably looking through. We're probably jaded and looking through rose-colored glasses, but it's the Chargers. I mean, Anthony Lynn has the Chargers playing at a high level. Their defensive front is going to put a lot of pressure on Brady, and Rivers is probably playing at the top of his game right now.
Yeah, you know, good point, Tom, and I kind of picked that as my upset special for the weekend, and for a couple of reasons that you just mentioned. Number one, the defense, and Gus Bradley did a great job throwing that kind of unconventional defense at Baltimore last week. And Steve, I like the fact that Baltimore came back in that game last Sunday. Baltimore came back and made a game of it, and the Chargers responded. I think that was a good test. Baltimore at home. Baltimore with, you know, not a complete lineup, obviously some limitations at the quarterback spot, but they came back and made a game of it, and the way the Chargers answered that I thought was big. I thought that was a very impressive win on the road for them. It'll be even more impressive if they can play that way and come out with a victory in New England this weekend, but I kind of like their chances.
I do see it. No question about it. We've been talking about it all week, and I've been very high on the Chargers and the way they're playing. But when I get down to it, and maybe this is me trying to play reverse psychology. If I pick them, there's no way it can be right because I am notoriously horrendous at picking games. So maybe me picking New England means there's no way they can win in their own building. But listen, until I see something significantly different in the Patriots' results, then I'll start picking against them. But they aren't the same team. They do appear to be really struggling to win games, and Tom Brady, I know this too, he is not the same quarterback he was 5 years ago. He is not the same guy. Neither are the weapons around him. They don't seem to be as dominant in any one area than they were. Now, we've seen them win games a multitude of different ways over the years, even within the same season. I mean, that's been their modus operandi. They're the only team that can change their identity week to week. They've struggled to do that this year. They've won games, but they have continued to win. The scoreboard is the same every week. Even though the team looks different, the results have been the same. And that's what I think is going to happen this weekend for the L.A. Chargers.
Which road team has the best chance at an upset this weekend? We're going to put that question to our guest next hour, Greg Cosell, the expert, the producer, and the executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN. Greg Cosell joins us when we come back. Come on back for that. One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.